you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. Last night I attended a celebration of life service to honor the memory of Josh Hohulin, born March 30th, 1988, and went home to be with the Lord last Thursday, March 1st, and he would have turned 30 years old at the end of this month. Josh became a new friend of mine through the testimony and sharing last night, though I had met him a few times in the past years at missionary conferences at the Gibson City Bible Church. I knew his father, Pastor Dave, much better as we traveled to Israel with the group some years ago and on occasion met up, but I was so impressed with the testimonies and the stories and the sharing about how well Josh finished and represented the Lord and shared Christ that I praised God for his legacy and was once again reminded the importance of allowing Christ to work through us and being faithful to our call. So for the next 25 or so minutes, I'm going to give you a glimpse into this wonderful life lived and start you off with the testimony that he gave just a week ago this past Sunday, where he shared the direction that God was taking him, and that'll follow with the Channel 3 news story about the accident that happened 4 days later after giving that testimony last Thursday, and then I'll share a portion of the service as recorded last night, where Pastor Paul Thomason of the Gibson City Bible Church opened up the celebration of life service and introduced three special friends of Josh and the family that will share their memories. So here's Josh Hohulin, who's now with the Lord, sharing about a six-minute testimony from Sunday, February 25th, just a week ago from this past Sunday.
Good morning. This is my first time speaking in front of my home congregation, and it is also my first time speaking in front of a crowd of this size. And as you can imagine, whenever you do this for the first time, especially in a speaking capacity, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, especially for a quiet, reserved person such as myself. But I've been told that in order to ease the tension and put myself at ease, it's good to open up with a joke. Now, it's a typical knock-knock joke. You guys know how these things work. In order for the joke to work and not fall flat, you guys have to work with me. I say knock knock, you say who's there, so on and so forth. So let's give this a try. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Suspense.
Suspense.
And if, for those of you who haven't got it by now, ask the person next to you or I'll explain it to you afterwards. Now that we've broken the ice, my name is Josh Hohulin. Many of you already know me. For those of you who don't, my dad was a youth pastor here for 8 years. He's now a senior pastor in Paxton. My grandparents were missionaries to the Philippines for over 50 years. They translated the Bible into two languages. And now it's apparently my turn to carry the torch. As the son of a pastor and grandson of missionaries, a passion for ministry was entrenched in me from a young age. But over time, I've developed a passion for storytelling through media. And now I get to combine my two passions into one. And that is the story I want to tell you today. You see, I almost died at age 5. On the way to dinner with the family, our car was blindsided by an impaired driver. We were hit on the driver's side where I was located in the back seat. My particular door came in a few feet. But luckily, like any typical annoying older brother, I just happened to be leaning over to bug my sister Rachel on the other side. Because of this, I only walked funny for a few months. Had I been sitting up straight, who knows? It was clear to me in that moment that God had a plan for me beyond age 5. What was it? Well, luckily for me, I always knew what I wanted to do. I was going to be a teacher and a football coach. Now, unfortunately, being a typical teenager, my attention span only reached as far as the nearest cute girl. And I didn't put a whole lot of thought into how to accomplish this. And when I graduated high school, a college guidance counselor asked me how I plan on being a teacher and a football coach if I didn't play football or go to school. Because I was homeschooled. Realizing I needed to shift gears, I said, all right, Josh, let's find something a little bit more achievable. Let's go for something a little less lofty. And so 18-year-old me settled on becoming the next Ryan Seacrest. So in college, in order to become the next Ryan or anything close to him, I studied broadcasting and communications. I quickly discovered, however, something I hadn't thought about before. In order to become the next Ryan Seacrest, next great radio DJ, or anything close to that, it might require that I actually talk to people. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a pretty quiet, reserved guy by nature. Talking is not something I do a lot of. In fact, over Christmas, I lost my voice for 3 days and couldn't get a single word out. And nobody noticed. But one thing I discovered in college was that I was a decent writer. Writing gave my quiet, reserved self a chance to process and think through what I wanted to say. I didn't have to be as on the fly as I had to be in radio. While studying communications, my journalism professor pulled me aside. He said, "Josh, I know you're focused on broadcasting, but you should really consider writing. You're pretty good at it." I said, "No way." In fact, the day I graduated college, my greatest joy was that I would never write another paper. And 3 months later, I was a sports writer. If you don't think that has a sense of humor. While being a small-town sports writer here in Gibson City, I quickly discovered that, one, my journalism professor was right. I was okay at it. Two, I liked it. And three, it fit my personality. And unlike my previous plans, I had to make out the most elaborate plan humanly possible. And so I decided to be a small-town sports writer for 3 to 4 years and accomplish a number of checklist items so that I'd be the most hireable human being on Earth. And if anyone's plan was bulletproof, it was mine. Fast forward a couple years in, before I'd accomplished everything I set out to do, the newspaper goes out of business, and I'm left to shift gears. But luckily, just a few months later, I got a call from an old friend, Kent Eller, over at Men for Missions, asking what I've been doing for the past few years. And it just so happened that the things I've been doing, writing, social media, photography, interviewing, all the things I've been setting myself up for success for, were things that they needed. Had the newspaper not gone out of business, I might not have seen this door open. And that brings me to my next chapter. I'll be joining Men for Missions as the managing editor and media coordinator of Action Magazine, their website and social media, which tells stories of missionaries all over the world and focuses on the short-term trips that we help lead. The magazine and the website that I'll be running, its main focus is to bring attention to the missionaries on the field and to entice people to go on the trips. It acts as a marketing tool. But I can't do any of this without your support, which is why I'm here. I'd like to ask you guys to prayerfully consider becoming a part of my financial support team and joining me on this journey. One-time gifts are great. They help pay for trips. They help pay for supplies once I get there. I can't get started until I have a certain amount of monthly support. And so I'd like to ask you guys to prayerfully consider that. Men for Missions is one of dozens of ministries at OMS. And through the dozens of ministries at OMS, over 1 million decisions are made for Christ every single year. And we can be a big part of this. You, me, our ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, God, for Josh Hohulin. You would never have guessed that was one of the first times he had gotten up before a crowd of that size and shared. And so the timetable from that Sunday, February 25th, through March 1st was filled with many God-honoring activities. In fact, I think that Wednesday he served with Bob Dickey, helping many of the youth at the Gibson City Bible Church. Then on Thursday night he was a part of the worship team. I think began that day by treating his mom to lunch. I think he made her lunch at home, gave her a big hug, loved on her, went to the church, was a part of the Thursday night worship practice, and it was on his way home that there was a car accident, and God saw fit to bring him home to glory. Here's Channel 3's account.
He'll be missed, not only obviously with his family, but this community has just lost a great young man.
Those are the words of a heartbroken friend after this man died in a car crash. Good evening, I'm Jessica Coons. The accident happened last night around 8 o'clock at the intersection of Route 47 and County Road 3200 North near Fisher. 29-year-old Josh Hohulin died in that accident. The woman accused of hitting him is facing charges. WCIA3's Jennifer Jensen is in our newsroom tonight. Jennifer, he was loved by so many in his hometown.
Jessica, he really was. I talked to so many people in Gibson City today, and, you know, it's difficult to describe someone's whole life in just a few words, but every single person says this man was one of a kind.
You couldn't tell if he had a bad day or not. His days were always good days. Cause...
Every person has a story to tell. For Josh Hohulin, the smile on his face says it all.
He would always pick up on something positive, no matter the outcome. And I love that about Josh.
Thursday night, on his way home, he made a left turn at this intersection. Police say a woman was trying to pass another car when hers hit Hohulin's. She's okay, but he died at the hospital. His friends say it was a beautiful life taken too soon.
Kindness is caring. I never heard him say anything bad about anybody. Just outstanding moral character.
Josh Hohulin was a man of many interests, from music to journalism. He was the sports writer for the local paper in Gibson City, but his greatest passion was found in his love for God, and with that came a big change in his life.
I'll be joining Men for Missions as the managing editor and media coordinator of Action Magazine, their website and social media, which tells stories of missionaries all over the world and focuses on the short-term trips that we help lead.
This was a speech he just gave to his church this past Sunday.
Both his passions had come together, his loves of writing and the Lord and the mission work.
But even though he won't be able to carry out this mission work, his story will continue through his friends. Judy Weber Jones is a driver's education teacher at Urbana High School, and she says there's a lesson to be learned from the driver who's accused of crashing into his car.
This is why you don't pass in a no-passing zone, or why you don't pass within 100 feet of an intersection. Innocent lives can be lost.
The other driver is facing charges related to that.
I'm going to share it with my students and let them know.
His was a life dedicated to loving others, and that's how he'll be remembered.
What an awesome legacy that he's going to leave just with that.
In the newsroom, Jennifer Jensen, WCIA 3, your local news leader.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much.
Josh would have been 30 years old at the end of this month. He was in the midst of transitioning into a new role as a full-time missionary this year, but God had bigger plans. Josh thought that he was at the beginning of a career serving the Lord full-time, only to find out that his faithful walk meant that he was at the end. You see, Josh accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior at the age of 4, and from that day on made it his personal mission to point people towards Christ by his life and words. One tough Marine friend laughingly remembers how in the middle of a ping-pong game, Josh had him kneeling on the concrete floor of a garage praying to accept Christ. Josh knew that accepting or rejecting Christ has eternal consequences, and so he lived and loved so that others might know Christ. He shared his faith fearlessly with family, friends, co-workers, and even casual acquaintances. Josh was far from perfect, but he was faithful to the Lord, and we are all better for having known him. Josh didn't leave us too young. He left us when he was done. Here's a portion of last night's service, beginning with Pastor Paul Thomason of the Gibson City Bible Church welcoming, sharing, opening up in prayer, and you'll hear three special friends that shared their memories of Josh.
Good evening. On behalf of the Hohulin family, I want to express appreciation and thanks for your being here this evening. We're grateful for your tangible expressions of love, the sustaining mercies of your prayers, the personal comfort of your visits. They all mean so much. These are very difficult days marked by excruciating sorrow and infinite hope. And our purpose this evening is to acknowledge and give expression to both of those. We're going to seek to accomplish what the Apostle Paul wrote by saying those of us who know Jesus are to grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We are going to be celebrating Josh's life, and it is a life worth celebrating. But it is impossible to celebrate Josh's life without entering into the truth of what the Scripture says. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with Jesus and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to celebrate and grieve this evening, and we're going to do so through memories and music and the message of the gospel. Let us begin, however, by asking God's grace on our time together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, asking for your great grace and mercy and love to be poured out upon us. We admit this evening our need of you. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort. We thank you that you're compassionate toward us, that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with pain. We thank you that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses and can draw near to the throne of grace, and there we can receive mercy and help in our time of need. This evening we're going to drink deeply from that well of grace because we find ourselves in the midst of this agonizing mystery, the death of a son, a brother, a grandson, a nephew, a friend. Help us, we ask, to know your hope on this day, because our hearts are broken and will not this side of eternity be mended completely. Thank you for Josh. Thank you for the privilege that was ours to know him. We ask especially for his family this evening, that you would comfort and show to them great mercy. I pray that as they see the number of people who are here this evening, that they would be encouraged to know how their lives and Josh's life touch so many. Bless all who participate this evening. Give them grace, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start with some memories this evening. The family has asked three people to come and share. We're going to begin with Patty Percy, who will be followed by Lincoln Marty, and that will be concluded by Garrett Kerber.
It is an honor to have the opportunity to share a few thoughts about Josh this evening. As he was growing up, Josh spent a lot of time in my home. He was a friend to both of my boys, but he was especially close to my son, Lincoln. He spent so much time with us that he quickly became part of our family. He drank a lot of soda. He ate countless snacks, and he addressed me as Mom every time he saw me. In fact, even as he grew older, the name stuck. As I've pondered this over the last few days, I've come to realize that I think the real reason he called me Mom was so I would keep baking him cookies. When he came back to this community after he had finished college, he found that many of his friends had either moved away, started careers, or gotten married. Though this was not always easy for him, instead of feeling sorry for himself, I was always so impressed by how he reached out to those younger than him. He asked some to be his roommate, invited others to concerts and sporting events, wrote amazing sports articles about kids from t-ball age through high school, and intentionally invested himself in the youth of this community. He also interacted with those of us who are aging gracefully. About a year ago, he asked if Guy and I would meet him so he could practice his presentation as he started his journey of building financial support for his role at OMS. His presentation was straight from the heart, and it was so rewarding to see him passionate about this next step in his life. But what stood out to me was that he truly desired and he valued our feedback and our words of wisdom that we were able to share with him. Young and old, Josh interacted with us all. A great leader in my life recently shared about the difference between an inheritance and a legacy. She said, an inheritance is what you leave for someone, but a legacy is what you leave in someone. She said that the value of her legacy would be measured by the lives that were affected by her life long after she was gone. And as I stand before you, I can tell you from the depths of my heart that Josh Holhulen, a young man that I considered as one of my own, has left a piece of himself in me. And if any of you are here this evening, feel that Josh has left a piece of himself in you too, will you please take a moment and stand with me? And if the family will just turn around and look at all the lives he impacted. Thank you. You may be seated. How comforting to know that Josh, in his 29 years on earth, has left us all an incredible legacy. And that is what I would call a life well lived.
Thank you, Mom. I'll let you all sit for this speech. When I found out I had the opportunity to come up here and speak, I was hesitant a little bit. First, of all the people Josh knew, am I the right person to get up here in front of you? And second, to be honest, I don't know if I'm going to make it through without breaking down. So we'll see. I've had the privilege of giving 3 best man speeches in my time, 3 men who are sitting in here tonight. Had Josh gotten married, and let's be honest, with his standards for a future wife, may have never happened. But if he had, Garrett would have been the one standing right next to him on his wedding day. So this is my best man speech to Josh, a speech that I probably would have never given. Josh and I met at an awkward time in our lives. I had to wear high heels to stand above 5 feet tall. And Josh had to wear a weight vest when the wind was over 10 miles an hour, not to blow away. Aside from that aspect of us, we bonded quickly on a few different reasons. One, our love for music, our love for sports, and both our parents had raised us with the title of homeschooled kids. So thank you for that. Our relationship grew very quickly, though. We attended the same youth group. We played on the same homeschool basketball team. We started our band Bulletproof with 4 of our other best friends. We just shot hoops, listened to music, talked about girls, what any kids will do at that age. My relationship with Josh and the Hohulan family as a whole became very dear to me when my parents split. You guys accepted me into your house for 2 months. You took me in as one of your family, and you loved me as one of your own. I think after 2 months, Rachel is ready for me to leave. Josh and Gabby now are kind of relentless on her. But one thing I'll never forget, the first night I moved in, I walked to the basement. That's where Josh and I slept. Josh gave me a hug, and I don't remember saying a word after that. We just listened to music and hung out. For those of you who are close to Josh, you know just his presence was enough to calm a room. And in that moment, that was all I needed from him. Our relationship continued to grow. We became cool homeschool kids. We're good at basketball. We went to the GCMS sporting events. We went to homecomings together. We went to proms together. We roomed together for a year when we were in college. Josh was the last person I saw before I left for the Navy. I remember stopping by. It was 11 at night. And I think we both expected me to stay there for about half an hour or so just to say our goodbyes. I think I ended up there till 3 or 4 in the morning. We just stood in the farmhouse kitchen talking about life, where we wanted to go, who we wanted to be when we grew up. I think if I can best describe Josh's personality, he was probably the most chill, intense person and lackadaisical, untimely hard worker I have ever met. The last time I talked to Josh is 3 weeks ago today, actually. He texted me, and he was like, hey, man, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was in basics. He was like, how often do fitness models eat the food that they want? He's like, I'm trying to decide how many cheat meals I can get. So that was my last conversation with Josh. But that was him. He did everything in his own time. He wasn't willing to sacrifice the small things in life that made him happy to reach that end goal. He was going to get to where he wanted, but it was going to be in his time. And I feel that he'd finally reached that point where he was proud of what he did. He was proud of where he was and where he was working. And for that, I can say I'm at peace with saying goodbye to Josh for now. I love you, Josh.
Like a bad dream weird, where you know where you are, but you're not really sure how you got there and you just want to leave. That kind of weird. I expected to text him when I make another pointless and stupid fantasy football team logo again, and he'd actually care. I expected to have him over for dinner where we talk about life, my kids, my wife, and then he'd get creepily rubbed against by my cat. He'd stay until 2 in the morning, and then he'd drive all the way back to Fisher. No matter how many times I said, hey, no, just crash on our couch. He'd always make that trip home. I keep expecting for him to just show up. He just had a knack for just showing up. I'd be in a circle talking with my brothers and a couple other people after church, probably around that area. And then Josh would just come up like, let me see if I can do this. Sup, guys? That was Josh. He was a brand of his own. But God has a plan. And God's plan is always better than our plan. But I want to make sure that I say that some of us need to get the idea out of our head that this pain will ever go away. That's a good thing. I have been mortally wounded by these events. A part of me has been torn away violently. I won't recover. He was the best friend I'll ever have, and one of, if not the, nicest, most welcoming human beings I have ever known. We're here because we love Josh and his family and those close to them. Sad because we only got a few years with Josh, no foolin', ho hoolin'. Grieving because it was so sudden, but rejoicing because we know without a shadow of a doubt that he is present with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll always feel pain welling up inside my chest when I play the guitar, when I look at his family and some of you, or when I show up at an event like, I don't know, a wedding or something late and missing an important item like black pants or something like that. That's just one example I definitely didn't pull from our past. And I often wonder if Josh cared about half the things that I talk to him about all the time. Some things I know for certain that he did, and other things I think he must have thought, wow, I can see my reflection in his sunglasses. I look pretty good right now. Also, not that that ever happened. But he always listened, or at least tried to appear like he was. He was an ear that was always willing to hear. I think of James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That was Josh. See, Josh was a great friend, an exceptional human being because he loved God. It's what guided him, it's what sustained him, and it's why he's with Jesus today. Josh knew Christ very early on, thanks to the faithfulness of his parents and extended family. And he was not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. That's James 1:22, actually. He was a living, active faith that was a gift from God, and he ran with it. If you're here, it's because Josh made you feel like you were important, or cool, or fun, or loved. And it's because God rescued him, and saved him, and cleansed him. Josh wanted to share that with you. If he didn't, it's just because he was busy listening. I ask that if you don't know Christ today, listen to his voice now. That's who Josh wanted you to know and love and be changed by. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His grace is sufficient. I experience that right now. Until I see you again, and we get back that high school magic we had on the basketball court before your dad had to go and make us stop being on the same team. I love you, Josh, and I miss you so much. Thank you.
Powerful testimonies giving a great tribute to Josh Hohulin, who finished well, faithful in his almost 30 years here on earth. And we just thank God for the life he's lived, the example he's given us, and the reminder that our days are numbered, and we should take every opportunity we can to proclaim the good news message of Jesus, to care for those around us, to spend time in God's Word daily, and be intentional about sharing Jesus with everyone around us. If you're struggling with having a relationship with God, maybe you've never entertained the idea that He loves you, maybe you feel far from His love, or just need to talk to somebody about growing in that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and there are great folks that will answer any question you have about the Christian faith, having a relationship with God, questions about the Bible, everlasting life, or just somebody to talk to. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.